that, that stop?
Well, we're going to have four sessions of 3 hours each on topoi, or as I like to see it, essentially on general topology. I mean, topos is just, topos is just what could be considered being the main object of study of topology, and the set of topoi is, I mean, generalization of classical general topology. It's what I really like to consider as being general topology. So as background, require some familiarity with handling topological spaces and continuous maps, homeomorphisms, and such things. And on the other hand, familiarity with the language of categories. And that's about all. So later we will give some explanations, perhaps, about motivations for introducing something more general than topological spaces, and give examples. But in order to understand the notion of the topos and its relevance to general topology, one would require some familiarity with the language of sheaves on a topological space. Now, I guess that this notion is not that familiar to everybody. Therefore, I think I will have to give a rather sound introduction to sheaves on a topological space. So I won't assume anything known on this matter, and I will just give a review of standard sheaf theory, being understood that I'm for the time being just speaking of sheaves on topological spaces. So, by the way, I hope that if some explanations are not clear, or if some comments come up, that you will freely interrupt me to ask questions or to point out errors or make any kind of comments. It would be nice if, as time goes on, if there was some participation of the audience. I'm sure that a number of people here know something about topoi, perhaps even without knowing where the topos is, and still be able to make suggestions and comments. Now, so I start with a kind of formal survey of sheaves on a topological space. All right, let X be a topological space, and consider the set O equals O of X, is dependent on X, of all open subsets of X. The topology of X is defined in terms of the family of open subsets of X, which is a subset of the set of all set of X. I recall that the axiom of the topology is that O should be stable under arbitrary union and under finite intersections. All right? So O in particular is an ordered set by inclusion, and therefore O defines a category by abuse of language. We know this category by O also, as any ordered set does. If U and V are elements of O, namely open sets on X, the set of homomorphisms of U into V here will be either empty if U is not contained in V, and will be reduced to just the inclusion map of U into V if U is contained in V. So this definition of it and the composition of arrows is You have no choice because there's at most one arrow from one object to another. So this construction of a category in terms of an ordered set makes sense for any ordered set whatever. So the category which we have has as objects in this of O and S arrows the graph of the order relation. A set of arrows, the graph of the order relation of O. Now let's first define pre-sheaves. A pre-sheaf on X say F is by definition a functor which goes from the category O to the category of all sets. When I say a pre-sheaf, I mean a pre-sheaf of sets. Later we will introduce other types of pre-sheaves. But it should be a contravariant functor. So it's a functor which goes from the opposite category to O, and we know where O upper naught, to the category of sets. So let's recall what this means, that we have a functor. First of all, it means for every object of the category, that means for every open set U of X, we associate an object FU of the category of sets, that is, we associate a set U, F of U, and second, to any arrow of the category, that means for every inclusion map U goes into V of open sets, we associate a map from FV into FU in the opposite direction. This map will be called the restriction map, corresponding to the pre-sheaf. And the axioms are the evident axioms of transitivity. Namely, if we have V is contained in another open set W, then we have the restriction map from FV to FU, but also from FW to FV. And we want that the restriction map from FW to FU should be the composite term here. And moreover, we want that in the case when we take the identity arrow, the identity inclusion from U into U, we want that the corresponding map FU goes to FU should be the identity. So these are the axioms of functors. So a pre-sheaf on X is just a contravariant functor from the category O to, from the category O to sets, that is a functor from O0 to sets. And the category of pre-sheaf on X, probably call it pre-sheaf on X, is defined as being the category of all functors from O0 to sets. So the pre-sheaves can be viewed as being objects of a category, the category of all pre-sheaves, which is a category of functors. So what is a homomorphism of a pre-sheaf F into another G? By definition of homomorphism of functors, let's say F be such a homomorphism. By definition, F consists in a collection of maps from FU into GU, call this map F of U, for every U object of the category, that is for every open subset of X. And these maps of sets should be compatible with restriction maps. That means that whenever U is contained in an open set V, then we have also FV goes into GV by F of V, and we have the restriction maps here from FV into FU, and from GV into GU, and these squares here should commute. So that's a homomorphism of pre-sheaves, and homomorphisms, that's just homomorphism of functors, and they compose in an evident way by composing it argument-wise. We have FGH here, and here a homomorphism from the pre-sheaf G to the pre-sheaf H. That means for every U, a map from GU into HU, GU, the compositum of F, G and F is defined as associating to every U the composite homomorphism here. All right, so that's just little nonsense on functors, on categories. Now, so far we have not used the fact that O was the catalog open subsets of X. We have just used the fact that it's an ordered set. But we will use it now in order to define particular pre-sheaves on X, which we call sheaves on X. So we have to introduce some axioms on pre-sheaves, which will turn them into sheaves. Now, traditionally, the axiom on a pre-sheaf is separated in two. We say first that the pre-sheaf is separated if the following is true: for every open set U in X, and for every covering of U by open subsets Ui, covering means therefore that the union of the Ui's is equal to U. The union, by the way, of your Ui's can be defined in terms of the ordered sets as being just the supremum of the Ui's in terms of the order relation. We have a mapping of Fu into each one of the Fui's, the restriction map, and therefore we get a mapping of F into the product of the Fui's, and F is set separated if for every such choice here this mapping is injected. Now, let's introduce this in, let's state this another way. If F is a pre-sheaf on X, F of U is a set, the elements of the sets are called the sections of F over U.
When we give examples, we will see
where this terminology of sections comes from. All right, and the map here I already said, when U is contained in V, the given map of Fv into Fu will be called the restriction map. If you have an element of Fv, that means a section of F over V, its image in Fu is called the restriction of the section to U. And the axiom for a sheaf to be separated means that whenever we have open subsets Ui of X, whose union is U, then a section of the pre-sheaf, the given pre-sheaf over U, is known by we know its restrictions to the Ui's. So that's the first condition we're interested in. But in diagrammatic terms, it just means that a certain error here is an injective error. That means that a section of F over U can be identified with a system of sections of F over the various Ui's. And then the second question that arises is to see whether we can identify the subsets here which we obtain as image of Fu, which are the systems of sections of F over Ui's, which come from a global section of F over U. Now, let's take a system of sections, say phi I, in Fui for every I, for every index. We have a necessary condition for this system of phi I's to come from a global section, which is the following. When you have two indices I and J, the restriction of phi I to Ui intersects Uj should be equal to the restriction of phi J to Ui intersects Uj. That's clearly necessary because of transitivity of restriction maps, because if all the phi i's come from a single phi in here, then the restriction of phi I to Ui and Uj is just the restriction of phi. And the same for the restriction of phi j to Ui and Uj, this will be the restriction of phi to the same set Ui intersects Uj, which is equal to Uj intersects Ui. Therefore, we have a necessary condition for a system of sections to come from a global section, which in fact holds this condition whether or not the pre-sheaf F is separated. Now we say that the pre-sheaf F is a sheaf if the map which we have here, which a priori may not be injective, is indeed injective and identifies Fu to the exact subset of Fui I have just described, the sets of all systems of sections phi I of F over the Ui's, which match in the intersections. So if we like to draw this in diagrammatic terms, we can look at this two-fold product with two indices I and j of the sets f of ui intersects uj. So here the set of indices is capital I, here the set of indices is capital I times capital I. And we have two arrows from this set into this, which associates to a system of phi i's, either the system of the restrictions of phi I to these intersections or the restriction of the phi j's to these intersections. So you have two arrows like this. And to say that f is a sheaf means that for every open set u, union of open sets ui, this diagram of sets here is exact, by which we mean that the first arrow identifies the first set to the kernel of the double arrow which we have here, that is to the set of elements which have the same image under these two arrows. All right, so that's, so these sheaves are called sheaves. So sheaf means that these diagrams here are exact. Now if we have two sheaves F and G, by definition a homomorphism of F into G is a homomorphism of the pre-sheaf F into the pre-sheaf G. That is, I take the same homomorphisms as if I hadn't considered at all any exactness condition on the sheaves. Now if you look at the sheaves over X, the ketter of these sheaves we will denote by top X. So top X, the ketter of sheaf on X is contained, the ketter of pre-sheaf of X as a full subcategory. You give a certain number, a subset of the set of objects of pre-sheaves, things which we call sheaves, and we take as homomorphisms those of the ambient category of pre-sheaves. So I don't know, do you know what a sheaf is on a topological space? You do, fine. So I was just explaining it. And I was just explaining that the category of sheaves on the topological space X is denoted by top X. And it forms, by definition, a full subcategory of the category of pre-sheaves on X, which is the category of all continuous functors on the category of open subsets of X, the category of sets. All right, now maybe it's time to give a few examples. Which will show that this notion is indeed a very natural one, that sheaves appear very frequently. So, first example. Let E be any set, and let's define a sheaf F on X by taking for the sections of F over U the set of all maps from U into E, E plus E into U if you want. And if we have U contained in V, so FV is defined also, these are the maps of V into E, the restriction map from FV into FU will be just restrictions of maps. Of course, restriction of maps is a transitive operation. So we have certainly a pre-sheaf. I claim that this pre-sheaf is a sheaf. In other words, it means that whenever an open set U is covered by open sets UI, then to give a map from U into E amounts to the same as to give these maps, this map on the UIs first, to give a system of maps of the UIs into E in such a way that these maps match in the intersections. In fact, this would be true even if U wasn't open and if the UIs were not open. In order to give a map on a set which is covered by a subset UI, we have to give it arbitrarily on the UIs, but then making sure that they will match on the intersections. Right, therefore, this pre-sheaf is certainly a sheaf. This sheaf would be called the sheaf of maps from X or open subset from X into E. Now, many sheaves which occur naturally in mathematics are subsheaves of sheaves of like this one, but I should first say what a subsheaf or subpresheaf is. So let's make a little parenthesis to define these notions. So let F be a presheaf and let G be another presheaf. Then we will say that G is a subpresheaf and we will write that G is contained in F. If first for every open set U, G of U is a subset of F of U. And second, if for every pair of open sets, one included in the other, the restriction map, which goes from GV to GU, is induced by FV goes to FU, the restriction map for F. So that's what is just called a subfunctor of a given functor. The fact that the category we have here is associated with all category, which in fact is a category of open subsets of X, all this is quite irrelevant. Of course, in order to define a subpresheaf of a given presheaf, it's enough for every U to define a subset GU of FU, because the restriction maps are automatically defined as being induced by the restriction maps for F. And the only condition we have to put on the system of subsets GU and the FUs is that precisely they are stable under restriction maps. So to give a subpresheaf of a presheaf is to give a family of subsets of the FUs stable under restriction maps. All right. Now, if F and G are sheaves, in fact, we will say that G is a subsheaf of F if it is a subpresheaf of F. If we forget the fact that they are sheaves, we just retain that they are presheaves. So a subsheaf of F consists of subsets GU of the FUs, which are stable under the restriction map so that the GUs in fact correspond to a presheaf law. But then moreover, we have to make sure that this presheaf is a sheaf. Therefore, we have to put an extra condition. So, which we will examine. So we have the notion of subpresheaf, which specializes into the notion of subsheaf. Now, assuming that F is already a sheaf, as I said, and assuming that G is a subpresheaf of G, that is that we have these GUs stable under restriction maps, when will G be a subsheaf? Well, it's quite evident to see that anyhow this subpresheaf will be a separated presheaf. Because if an open set U is covered by UIs, a section of G over U is known when we know its restrictions to the UI, because the section is a particular type of section of F over U, and this is known when we know its restrictions to the UI, and the restriction in terms of F or in terms of G is the same. In fact, this argument shows that a sub-presheaf of a separated presheaf is again separated. Now, what does it mean that G is not only separated, but an actual sheaf? This means that the property of belonging to FU, the property which is expressed for an element of FU to belonging to GU, I want to say, is a property of local type. That means an element of FU belongs to GU if and only if it belongs, after restricting to UI,
to GUI for every index I.
That's an evident consequence of the fact that this is already exact. That is, to define a pre-sheaf of a sheaf is the same thing as to define subsets of sections for the FUs in such a way that, first of all, these subsets are stable under restriction maps, and on the other hand, that the property of belonging to such a subset should be a property of local nature. A section has a special property of belonging to G if and only if it has this property on each of the UIs where the UIs cover U. Therefore, whenever we turn up with some property of local type on that sections of a certain given sheaf may have, this just means that we are defining a subsheaf of the given sheaf. And now we will exemplify this by taking the sheaf F of all maps of open subsets of X to a given set E by displaying a certain number of properties of local type that maps can have. For instance, assume that the set E is in fact not only a set, but is a topological space itself. For instance, it was just a set, we can put a discrete topology on it. Never mind. So assume E is a topological space, and let's consider for every U the subset of the set of all maps from U into E, which are the continuous maps from U into E. Now, if you have a bigger open set V, then the same way the continuous maps from V into E are defined as a subset in set of all maps, and the restriction morphism, of course, turns continuous maps into continuous maps. The restriction of continuous map is continuous. And still better, we know that the notion of continuity is a purely local notion. Map is continuous if and only if it is continuous on open sets UI covering the given set U. And therefore, the notion of continuity is a notion of local character. This means that we have in fact defined a subsheaf of the sheaf of all maps that's from X into E or from open sets of A, subsets of X into E. It is called the sheaf of continuous maps from X into E or from open subsets of X into E. All right. Now, assume now, for instance, that X is a variety, differential variety, and that E also is a differential variety. So we have stronger structures than just the structure of a topological space. Now, if some of you don't know what a differential variety is, it doesn't matter because you can just skip this example. Maybe C infinity or CR variety. And let's look now for every open subset U of X, so that on U there's an induced differential structure. Let's look at the differentiable maps from U into E. So according to the context, it may be infinitely differentiable or R times differentiable. Depends what kind of structure we have in mind. Let's call it just if. Now, it's well known that for a map from a variety to another to be differentiable, this is a purely local notion. It's something which is a property being differentiable, which is conserved by restricting to a smaller open subset. And if U is marginally, if U is covered by UIs, then a map on U is differentiable if and only if its restriction to the UIs are differentiable. So we have the sheaf, therefore we have the subsheaf of the previous sheaf here. It's in fact the subsheaf also of the sheaf of continuous maps from open subsets of X into E, which is the sheaf of differentiable maps from open subsets of X into E. Now we can vary this ad libitum. Instead of taking differential varieties, we can take real analytic varieties or real analytic spaces or complex analytic varieties or complex analytic spaces. Algebraic varieties, algebraic spaces may have similarities. So any kind of variety structure will give a corresponding type of sheaf on X. Now, let's give still another example of a subsheaf of this very general type of sheaf. Assume that E is a fiber space over X, which just means that it's a topological space together with a continuous map F from E into X.
That's what I will call a fiber space.
And now look for every open subset U of X. Look at all continuous maps of U into E, which moreover are sections of this fiber space. That means such that the compositum of this continuous map with F is just the inclusion morphism of U into X. So these are called sections of the fiber space E over the open set U. They are denoted sometimes by gamma of U, comma E, or E over X, if you want to recall that E lies over X. Now, of course, if you have, in fact, a section on a larger open set V than U, and if you take its restriction to U, then we get a section over U, that is, the restriction maps for maps, the section operations for maps, turn sections into sections. And also it's pretty clear, more precisely, that if V is covered by open sets UI, let's say, then a map from V into E is a section if and only if its restriction to each of the UI is a section, so commutativity. Because two maps on V from V into X, namely this compositum or this inclusion, are the same if and only if they're the same on each of the UIs. That is that, again, we have a subsheaf of the sheaf of all maps of all continuous maps from open subsets of X into E, which is a sheaf of sections of E over open subsets of X. And it's because of this particular situation that we have introduced the terminology of sections of a pre-sheaf over an open subset of X by thinking of this particular example. All right, so this gives a number of examples. Are there any more examples to be suggested, perhaps? No? Do you want to?
It's maybe worth pointing out that the other examples can be obtained, again, as a special case of this, by replacing E by E cross X.
Yes. In the case when we take continuous maps, yes. Assume, take again the case of a general topological space, and look again at the sheaf of continuous maps from open subsets of X into E. That's the second sheaf we have considered in our series. Now this, as was just pointed out, can be interpreted up to isomorphism as being the sheaf of sections of a certain fiber space over X, namely taking E times X mapped into X by the second projection. Because to give a section of E times X over U, well, we have to map U into E times X, but in such a way that its second component should be the inclusion, so we just have to give the first component, which is an arbitrary continuous map from U into E. Therefore, to give a map from U into E is the same thing as to give a continuous map, I mean, is the same thing as to give a section of the fiber space E times X lying over X, to give a section over this open subset U. And of course, this identification is compatible with restriction maps. So are there any other examples that somebody wants to point out? Or nice?
You're making a revolve across the left field of the homeomorphism. You're making approach more.
No. That was plan B.
But let me point out some more examples. If X is a, for instance, a locally compact space, and if you associate to every open set the set of Radon measures on U, then we have a restriction in natural. Let's see. Yes, that's true. Then we have a restriction of a Radon measure to a smaller open set, and of course, you get in this way, we get a sheaf. That's the property of defining a measure through local data. All right, so that's the sheaf of Radon measures on open sets of X. If X is a differential variety, infinitely differential variety like Rn, for instance, we can in the same way look at the sheaf of distributions on X. Radon measures are linear forms on continuous functions, and distributions are continuous forms on C infinity functions. And that's one of the first main statements about distributions, that distributions localize, that for variable open set, they form a sheaf again. I mean, there are many other examples to this, but for instance, let me give still a third example, you see, which is kind of geometric. For every open subset U of X, consider all closed subsets contained in U, closed in U. If you have an open set V smaller than U, as restriction may take intersection of a closed subset of U with V, which is closed then in V. Of course, we have, that's a pre-sheaf first of all. We have transitivity of restriction maps, because it's just transitivity of taking intersections. And on the other hand, it's even, this pre-sheaf is even a sheaf, because in order to define a closed subset of U, when U is covered by UIs, it's enough to give a closed subset of each of the UIs so that in the intersections they match. Because first, in order to give a subset of U, it's enough to give a subset of each of the UIs so that they match. This has nothing to do with open sets. But then, in order to take care of the property of being closed, let's say, this comes from the fact that the property for a set to be closed is a local property. If the intersection of a subset of U with any one of the UIs is closed in UI, then the subset is closed in U. So in fact, we could define the sheaf, let's say first of all, the sheaf of all subsets of U for variable U, and this is quite evidently a sheaf, and then we can define there a subsheaf, including the subsheaf of closed subsets of variable U's. So any property of a subset of an open set, which is of local nature, of like being closed, being open, or such a thing, will define a sheaf on the space X. For instance, in the case of when X, let's say, is an analytic space, then taking for every U analytic subsets of U, and taking restrictions in the previous sense, you get the sheaf of analytic subsets of variable open sets of X, etc. I mean, you can give, I mean, at random 100 more examples.